I had some topics in mind to get into on the podcast, but I feel as though I should speak about addiction. This is a topic that perhaps it's been in the back of my mind, to bring into this discussion for, I don't know, a year or more. But I honestly felt a bit intimidated by the topic because of the large effect it can have in people's lives. Certainly, it's affected a lot of us, myself included, and I'm very thankful to be where I am and to be able to see the way that I see to the extent I can and to make efforts toward being healthy to the extent that I can as well. This topic, it just keeps surfacing in my mind, and I feel as though perhaps I've had some revelations that might help serve us in very simply being free from addiction. And this podcast right now should by no means be an exhaustive lesson or summary or explanation or course on recovery in terms of recovering out of addiction. There are many resources which are wonderful. I understand the 12-step program can be extremely helpful for recovery. So that is something you may want to check out. I just want to share what I've observed and perhaps some ideas that may help us. So, like I started to say, addiction may affect a lot of people. And certainly it can be present in people's lives in a whole vast variety of different ways and in different degrees. There have been, of course, very serious effects, especially when it comes to certain substances, which could be hard on the body, or perhaps the way the use and the effects may have had detrimental effects in the course and the situational circumstance of people's lives. Addiction, it can be present in behavior patterns, and what we end up doing. And I certainly believe that there can be a genetic disposition to addiction. It's something that I have been cautious about for a long time because you can look in your family line, potentially, if you have resources to know that information. To my observation and my opinion, the addiction can sort of run in a family line, sort of like a disease. And even if addiction is present in someone's life and it doesn't seem to be a big deal, it may still be worth taking a look at the presence of these energies or just seeing and observing the effects and the pull of these forces so we can assess what's happening. We can assess our behavior. We can take a look at our life. And we can be free from anything potentially harmful, unhealthy, or even unproductive having an effect on us. People who have dealt with depression, I understand, are often prone to addictive behavior. And I've observed a certain energy to the force or the power of addiction, which may even seem appealing. The addictive energies themselves. And this I have found to be actually quite concerning. myself. I notice I have perhaps at times and in ways invited in these energies, especially because I feel as though I've been prone to be quite low energy, having a low energy level, feeling tired often. And that type of condition, well, the addictive energies can almost take over the same way someone who likes, let's say, I don't want to like, because this isn't an analogous metaphor, but let's say someone who really likes hard heavy metal music or something to that effect, and it takes over and they're, you know, thrashing around and they just enjoy letting something come over them because it feels energizing. That seems to be a similar effect to how I have sometimes experienced addiction, and I almost, perhaps I did, welcome it because of the energizing feeling. You know, we did a podcast quite a while ago. I know these podcasts have been kind of interspersed over time. We did one about, it asked the question, is depression caused by demons? And of course, I had some opinions and some analysis, exploration of what even would be meant by the term demon. And I still don't believe it's necessary to believe in a religious tradition or even believe in any sort of concept that's been conjured up about these forces. I would say it's worth acknowledging, though, that such forces can exist which could be called demons. You hear that term used when someone has had a problem, especially with substances or behavior. You hear things like, even in the press, you'll hear Johnny Cash had his demons to battle, or Kurt Cobain, or whomever, especially those who had an involvement with hard drugs. And I do see addiction this way, as a force that can have power in our life, over our life, I should say. But this gives us a very clear and helpful, beneficial clue as to how we can be free from addiction. Don't feed it. I'll say that again. Don't feed it. If you need to acknowledge the tendencies and the feelings and perhaps the thoughts that come into your head, you could acknowledge by saying, you're not me. And if whatever it is, the substance use, the behavior, the form of diet, perhaps unhealthy eating or an excess in any form of food and drink, or perhaps it's played out in lust or any unhealthy or unproductive sexual, whether fantasy or activity, you can acknowledge that that is not you. And here's something to really remember, to really realize, that you are redeemed. Okay, it doesn't matter even what you have done. You are a divine, perfect spiritual being. And a very redeeming revelation or realization is just to realize that if you have been looking to a behavior, a substance, an activity, something which is seeming like it, you want it removed from your life, you can acknowledge, though, that you looked to that. You looked to that substance or the food or the activity or those energies. You looked to it for a very pure reason. Truly you did. I want to stress this point fully, that you looked to those forms, those energies, those substances, those foods, etc., for a very pure reason. And this is why a lot of the purest hearts on the planet end up with serious addictions. You've seen it. You've seen some of the most glorious humans taken off the planet from some, it could have been heroin use. It could have been all kinds of drugs. And they were looking to something which they thought spoke to some aspect of energies that perhaps made sense to them, but it was misdirected. It was misdirected. Even lust, even getting into extreme like sexual content or behaviors, we are looking to those. We're looking to those as if with an assumption that they would fulfill energies of ourselves, but our attention and our preoccupation with that material or with the behavior was misdirected. Those substances, the behavior, it wasn't going to serve us. It was almost like a trap. It was a trap. But it's okay. We can acknowledge that we are pure. Pure now. And we choose how we live. For example, I especially liked years ago all sorts of things that were not healthy. Alcohol, for example, I just liked it too much, and I realized that my relationship to alcohol was quite different than most other people. And I wasn't necessarily getting crazy. I'd probably want to have some drinks and read a book, but still, I was looking to that substance to assist perhaps my nerves or my usual nature of being self-conscious, or a whole variety of hopes that I had that I instantly thought this might fulfill, but it does not, and actually it's more does more harm than good, and I had to recognize that. But the notion, what I was longing for, can be achieved in different ways, and in fact, when I started exercising routinely, alcohol no longer made sense to my body. If I had a drink, my body was expressed confusion. It said, hey, I'm feeling healthy. What's with this toxicity? So we can start to make steps to doing what is healthy and actually fulfilling these, call them, energies of our own expression in ways that are healthy. And meditation can really bless us. Now, I want to talk about meditation because I just, you know, I've been aware of meditation. I've feel like I've experimented with it in ways, but I just recently had a strong and extremely simple revelation of meditation relating to addiction. And the point is simply this: do not feed your addiction. And meditation is such an immediate shift in our state of being. And it's so simple. Now, I don't really need to introduce any sort of religious tradition or any specific type of meditation or yoga, because meditation can be so simple. I'd like to simply share it as awareness of our breathing, awareness of the breath. And I encourage us to practice this. You simply watch your breath. And when thoughts surface, You can label them as a thought. But you don't hold on to it, and you don't roll with it. You don't cling to it. If a thought arises, you don't get emotional about it. You don't get personal about anything. If some thoughts try to make a case against you, or if they try to say, some voice tries to tell you something, it's saying something, some idea about yourself, you can even say, that's not me, you're not me. And you don't get emotional, you don't attach to it, you let it go. You don't cling to it simply. You simply don't cling. And you can be to the point where you're only observing your breath. You know, the meditative state is a state that came very naturally to me as a child. And I would find that my mind would be quite clear. And as soon as people started to notice this, it seemed confusing to them. And I got the impression like, oh, maybe I'm supposed to be thinking about things. And thought can be appropriate, but you can also reside in the place, I'll call it, of your divinity. You can call it the place of your purity. You can call it the place of your true self. You could call it the God mind. Doesn't matter to me. You can call it anything. Whatever concept works for you. But it's the true self. The self that is not affected. It's not proven or disproven by any circumstance. It is eternal. And we might understand this by being the observer. A lot of us, by having felt depressed, have naturally been observers. And in fact, if you want, I realize this might seem difficult, you can even be thankful for the time that you've been depressed, because it led you to a profound, or if it hasn't, it's about to lead you to a profound understanding. An understanding that a lot of people, well, I'm not sure if they will reach that point of understanding. I do believe we all move to the point of understanding. Perhaps ours has been expedited. And what does addiction do? I mean, if you are listening to this, you likely understand how it can take over. Even if it's not seeming extreme, or the substance use is not something that's illegal, or whatever judgments we might make about it, you can still see that it's not allowing us to be free. Any addiction can prevent us from feeling free. However, we can stop feeding it. And meditation is an instant way. It's where I go, and it's what I will do. And I'm observing my breath, and I'm not feeding the thoughts, which might try to take over. Are these thoughts evil? Are they from some outside intelligent entity that perhaps wants to do harm? Well, it doesn't necessarily matter whether the nature, whether it's an actual entity. I mean, we can look at any sort of harmful material, whether this is in a chemical observation of certain types of bacteria or whatever. Is it intelligent? Well, it certainly has an agenda. And I see addiction as having an agenda of taking over people. And I'm not going to have it. If you'd like, go ahead now and say, I'm not having it. I won't have that. I won't have addiction. I won't have it. I don't have it. And like I say, I acknowledge the pull has been strong in my life, and my behavior has been shameful in ways. But I am a divine, perfect spiritual being, and I am choosing my life. So, like I began to describe, Addiction, it can take up someone's time, energies, focus, attention. Perhaps we've known it or experienced it in a variety of ways. I really want us to be free. I realize the technique that I'm sharing is quite simple. When I say meditation, simply observing the breath, it's a very peaceful state of mind, and I do encourage it because you'll find that those forces of addiction are no longer being fed, and they cannot exist. They cannot exist. They won't stay with you. They're gone. And like I also started to describe, there are many resources. If you feel you want support, the 12-step program could be helpful. I do not feel like an expert on this topic, although I've considered it a great deal. I truly appreciate you, and I truly believe in you. I really thank you for being with me. Be blessed.